Good morning, everybody. Bokhi Tal. Welcome. It's great to see everybody here. Okay, so this week, some things we do have and some things we don't have. We do have lots of great sources. We don't have much of a voice to read them. But hopefully what we'll have is we'll get it to last for 60 minutes. My wife sent me with ginger and honey and lemon and all that stuff. I don't... Okay. I added that, no. But so hopefully it'll make her feel better, but it may me feel better as well, so we'll see. The issue of umbrellas on Shabbos, I must tell you, I have been on an amazing paper chase all around the world this week, contacting Rabbonim from New York from the 1960s and 70s and 80s. We'll see lots of interesting things. But you may or may not know that February the 10th, in a couple of weeks, is National Umbrella Day all around the world. And if you learn nothing else, then at least you learn that. And there's no doubt that our lives are greatly enhanced by umbrellas. Except on Shabbos, people don't use them. And the question is, why not? A lady just mentioned to me before she feels that she sees more people who do use umbrellas on Shabbos than used to. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't seen a major difference. The question is, why do we not use umbrellas on Shabbos? And this is a fascinating analysis as to how halacha works and different routes that it takes, especially when there could be a significant argument, a health argument, people should go out in the cold, people should get wet, etc. Let's have a look at how this issue evolved over the last couple of hundred years since umbrellas hit the shops, and we'll see where we take it from here. So again, apologies with the voice, but hopefully it'll hold through. Now, you may be interested, or you may not be, but umbrellas have a very ancient history. I've even given you a link at the bottom to an erudite work, The Umbrellas and Their History, some work by this fellow in the 19th century. But you get umbrellas in ancient China, in ancient Persia, in ancient Rome and India. And they made their way into European culture in around the 1500s. And originally they were very much a woman's accessory. So like a silk parasol to walk around in the sun. They weren't a lot of use in the rain. If you walk around with a silk umbrella and it's pouring down, you won't get very far. But in the 1750s, there was a fellow called Jonas Hanway. And in fact, they used to call umbrellas apparently Hanways before my time, probably before yours as well. But Jonas Hanway brought the umbrella in as a very much male accessory, because they made it waterproof, and therefore from the 1750s onwards they were able to use it in the rain, and then things went on from there. The steel-rimmed ribbed umbrella was invented in the 1850s, the pocket umbrella, the folding umbrella, etc. Now, in terms of halacha, we'll see that the first tshuvas began to come out on umbrellas when they became popular in the late 1700s, and we'll see all sorts of twists and turns in how that works. Now, what could the issue be on Shabbos? Well, there are a few issues, and let's separate the two. There's the issue of putting the umbrella up and down, that's one issue, and then a separate issue of carrying the umbrella in an Eruv. If there's no Eruv, there's nothing to talk about, there's no way you can carry the umbrella. But if there is an Eruv, let's say you have a problem putting the umbrella up. So put it up before Shabbos and keep it in the hall, and then just carry it around on Shabbos. Or get a non-Jewish neighbor to put it up and down, if you can find someone to help, and maybe carry it around. Let's see each of these two things, why it may or may not be a problem. So the initial analysis of this starts with the malacha of Ohel. That one of the malachas on Shabbos, one of the 39 malachas is binyan. Truth is the av malacha is binyan, which is building any kind of construction. And the tolga, the derivative malacha, which is also midoraisa, is Ohel. There are two types of Ohel. There's Ohel kavua. What's the difference between Ohel and Binyan? Binyan is where you screw things into the wall. Ohel is where you just create a structure that doesn't necessarily screw into anything. There's Ohel Kavua, which is a permanent tent structure. And there's Ohel Arai, which is a temporary tent structure. Let's look at the Rambam for a good introduction in number one. How I say Ohel Kavua, if you make a fixed tent structure on Shabbos, Chaya, that's the right, Mishum Bonet. That's Bonet. Lefikach Einos in Ohel Arai, and therefore, since there is a Torah prohibition to make a permanent Ohel, we won't make even a temporary Ohel on a rabbinic level, Chavchila, but Loisotrin Ohel Arai. We won't take down a temporary Ohel. Gezeira, it's a rabbinic fence. Shema Yaseh or Yisdol Ohel Kavua. You might come to actually do something permanent. Vim Oiseh Oiseh Ohel Arai. But if you did put up or down a temporary Ohel Patur, that's a rabbinic prohibition. umutar, but I'll tell you what's okay, says the Rambam, lo hosif ohel. If you already have a little bit of an ohel, on a temporary ohel, you can increase it on Shabbos. But Shabbos, Kaitan, how does this work? Talit shehaita pusal ha'amudim. Let's say you have a talit, some kind of a canopy on poles, which is already there, or on a katolim, or katolim, or on a wall of some kind. The haita krucha kodim Shabbos is rolled up before Shabbos. Im nisham emenu gag tefach matuach. If there's still a tefach of it, which is not completely rolled up, then harizeh moteach et kula b'Shabbat. You can unroll it on Shabbat. Even to make a very big oil. That's the reason you can pull a baby, what do you call those things, a cot, a stroller, a cover forwards and backwards, etc. Because it's an ohel arai, it's designed to be back and forth, it's not fixed in any way. And there is a tefach of it that's still there, even when you fold it back, there's a tefach there so you can fold it forwards. And therefore, if we plug this into umbrellas so far, what does this say about umbrella? Is an umbrella an ohel kavua, or is it an ohel arai? It sounds very much that it's going to be an ohel arai. It's not that. Maybe a garden umbrella would be worse. If you put it up in March and it stays up until October, okay, let's be optimistic, okay, maybe not in England, but let's say you put it up for the whole summer, maybe that will be more kavua. But an umbrella sounds like it should be arai. Does it have a tefach, which is remains open at all times? No, probably not. So we'll see how that works in a minute. There is something else in the Gemara on Shabbos that will maybe help us. And this is where we get into the whole umbrella discussion. Number two. Says the Gemara on Shabbos, about Nita, there are certain foldable beds. The Kisei Traskel, and this thing called a Kisei Traskel, we'll see in a minute what this is, like a folding chair. The Asla. Asla in modern Hebrew is a toilet seat. We'll see it's a certain kind of commode, okay? You're allowed to use them on Shabbos. You're allowed to unfold them, fold them. That's not a problem. What are these things? And let's see why they're okay. Look over to page number two. So Rashi says, the kitei traskel, kashmai, that's what it's called. And then he gives a French or German word, ubelaz, folstuhl, which I think means a folding stool. It's actually called a folstuhl. I'm trying to pronounce it in a way which sounds more authentic, but I'm probably completely wrong. But anyway, the Hebrew translation is a kisei mitkapel, some kind of folding chair. Why is this okay on Shabbos, says Rashi? El yonashel or, it has like leather on the seat, umitkaplimoto, umakaplimoto, you fold it up. Ukushimasalkinoto, when you put it away, somchinoto, like kotel, you just lean it against the wall. I think it's like a folding chair. Folding chair, you fold it up, you lean it against the wall. Ukushiroite, lishevalav, when you want to sit on it, you open it up and you sit on the four legs. Or an asla, which he says is asui ke'en kisei traskel. That's the same kind of idea. Aval or ha'parus alav mekub lebet ha'kisei. It has a little hole in the leather so that it can be used as a toilet seat. Mutar lintois lechatzkel. You're allowed to use this on Shabbos. Why? Look at this word. It's very critical, Rashi. Deha'avid v'kai. Because they're already made. They're already there. All you're doing is just opening and closing. You're not screwing anything in, you're not fixing it, you're not taping it on. It's already made. All you're doing is just undoing it and doing it up again. Now, according to this, it sounds from Rashi that anything which is like this chair, which you're undoing and doing, it's already made. There's no problem. This is in the whole discussion of Ohel. However, the Ritva takes a slightly different position and says, no, it's not that you're just, it's already made. There's a one critical difference between an umbrella and a folding chair. Look at the Ritva number four. Says the Ritva, Shekol Elu, all of these things, this bed, the chair, the commode, Ein Asuim Nishtamesh Tachtehim El Aleihem. They're undone, they're unfolded so that you can use what? Underneath or on top? On top. You sit on them. Mutter, Afir Lechatkele, that's why they're mutter. But who are they? Elu HaShulchanot, similarly tables. If it's like a fold-out table, you can do that. The Hashulchan Nishtamesh Alav of it. Because it's designed to use what's on top of it, not what's underneath it. And if you take this idea, then the fact that it's already there, the fact that it's already made, will not help us with an umbrella. Because the difference between an umbrella and a folding chair is a chair is designed to use the top. But an umbrella is designed to use underneath. And that may be the defining feature with Ohel, which we'll see in a few minutes. One way or the other, the Shulchan Aruch rules these chairs are okay. Number five, says, Kisei Asu Prakim, a chair which is made in bits. Kishirot Shilashim Alav, Poschim et Or, Nitach, you open it and the leather opens, Kishimasin, Masal Sogrim. It's fine on Shabbos, there's no problem on Shabbos. And the Magen Avraham extends this to two other things, which are very interesting. We'll see right now how they might affect us in number six. The Lav Midi Avid, when I open up this chair, he says, I'm not really doing anything. And then he told me, I'm just sitting on it. It's designed for sitting on. Umi High Timer, for the same reason, Shari Laha Amid Ha Chupa. Oh, I'm allowed to put up a chupa on Shabbos, some kind of canopy, Ula Salka, and to take it down. But Uagin Adasha Kavua Bekotel, so to a shelf, which is like hinged and attached to the wall, that you kind of put up and put down, so rest books on, things like that. Sheba Beta Knesset, Sheba Nicha Lav Svarim, that you put books on. Now, the Mishnah Berurah basically says, that's the halacha, you can put up this chupa, you can put up the shelf, etc. Why can you put up the chupa? What do you use the chuppah for, the top or the bottom?
Bottom.
The bottom. So it sounds like, and again, he's talking about a chuppah which is like a, imagine the four legs of the chuppah which is all, are all attached to the chuppah. Basically, you just pull it out on Shabbos and the thing pops up. He's not talking about something you have to screw together and clip, etc., etc. The whole thing's there. Now, if you can put up a chuppah on Shabbos, why can't you put up an umbrella on Shabbos? It sounds like not just that it's already made and you're just opening it, but it's opening it for use of what's underneath it. So the truth is that all of this is pre-umbrella. Everything I've brought you so far, really apart from the Mishnah Berurah at the end, came before the umbrella hit the streets. But the story of the umbrella really is as follows. In the mid-1700s, the first tshuva on this was by a rabbi called Rav David Pardo in the Michtam of David. And we'll see, he was in Venice, in Italy. We'll see his sack coming up soon. It's brought down by the Birkei Yosef. But the major halakhic publicity that came for this was the Noda Yehuda. And the only Noda Yehuda lived in Prague. And I assume it rains quite a lot in Prague. And the Noda Yehuda wrote a tshuva in 1783. And here's the story. He was asked by somebody else who'd written a fellow called Rav Leib HaKohen, who'd written to another Rav and said to him, what about umbrellas on Shabbos? And this other Rav had basically said, yes, umbrellas are fine on Shabbos for two reasons. Number one, they're constantly in movement, and the nature of an ohel is an ohel has to be stationary, and an umbrella is a moving ohel, and that should be fine. And secondly, they're hinged, and they're designed to be up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. They're not fixed in any way. They're designed to be operated that way. And this rabbi wrote back to this Rav Leib HaKohen and says, you can carry your umbrella on Shabbos. Rabbi Leib HaKohen was unhappy with this, and so he wrote to the Gadol Hador in late 1782, when the winter was starting, and the Rebbe Yehuda wrote back in early 1783 with the following tshuva. So let's have a look. This becomes the defining original tshuva for the issue of umbrellas. Look at number 8. Hine yesh adon od letzad heta b'parasol. What is the heta of the parasol? Can we compare it to a kisei traskel, this folding chair, and this commode on Shabbos, which the Gemara said was fine? So let's have a look at what he says. Lechora, it would seem at first blush, kavanat Rashi, bazer, that Rashi is very clear on this. The light saber that asked him is shenoite oil. It's not a problem. This chair is not a problem because of oil. Because it's already made. You're just undoing it. You're just unfolding it and folding it back up again. You're not constructing. The leather is already on top. It's already attached to the legs. All you're doing is just broadening, widening the legs, and the leather top pops up. You're not making an oil. It's already made. The inkain, if that's the case, says the Rebbe Yehuda, gam the parasol hu kazeh she'eino ela marachiv tzadav. You're not making the umbrella. You're not putting the metal up and then trying to pin some kind of skin on top. It's already made. Marachiv tzadav zemizeh umimela nishar ha'oil. But lav midi avid, you didn't do anything. The ha'avid b'kai. If you follow this reasoning, you'll see that umbrellas should be fine on Shabbos. However, he says, Aval zeh ve'emet ein kavanat Rashi. But that's not what Rashi means. Rashi didn't mean you can put this chair up just because it's all made. He has a different kavanah. V'adai kavanah Rashi b'man because of the lav midi avid. When Rashi says, you're not doing anything, because of the hashta avid oyel mikol makam lav midi avid. When he says you're not doing anything, the ein oyel ela b'mashit tarich la'avir tachta. Because an oyel is when you use the air space underneath. V'zeh enu afti la'avir shetachta la'ela lita ve'alma. And the chair is not there for the airspace, it's there to sit upon. That's what Rashi means. Says the Nodibiyoda, I don't care if it's pre-made, if it's just up and down, and you're not fixing it. If it's designed for airspace, it's going to be a problem. And then he brings the Magen Avraham, but because of the Lav Midi Avid, and at least Hakise, that's sweet brachim, it's there for sitting on. But then the Nodibiyoda has a problem. Because the Magen Avraham says you can put up the chuppah. So why can you put up the chuppah? And that's for the airspace. Should be awesome. Yes, lichov. I want to suggest it's a bit difficult. The chuppah tzarich la'avir shetachter. I agree that the chuppah is used for the airspace. The avid oil, it should be an ohel. So why is it okay? Or lechay nira the sava magid avram came under ena chuppah nasid lahagei mipnei hashemesh or geshem. Really, the chuppah is not designed to protect against the sun or the rain. Rak lichvot chatan v'kala. It's only there as a symbolic kavod for the chatan v'kala. Ganke lodik rahel. Maybe that's why it's not called an ohel. It's strange, really. He wants to say the chuppah, the chasan and kala standing under the chuppah, don't really get any protection from the chuppah. It's just a symbolic thing. And I've been in chuppahs in the rain, and believe me, it's true. You know? Standing under the chuppah will not help. Yeah. So that's a good question. I'm not sure. I was thinking about this myself. Why are they putting up a chuppah on Shabbos? You can't have a wedding on Shabbos. So maybe it's not the wedding. Maybe they're putting some kind of a chuppah up, lichvod ha-chatan v'kala, for them to sit underneath. I honestly don't know. Because sheva brachas, why do you need a chuppah for sheva brachas? I don't know. Whatever it is, you can't do a wedding on, that's for sure, you can't do a wedding on Shabbos. Okay? Although there is a famous Ramah, which we talked about when we gave a shir on Kavod Abriyas, where the minhag was, used to be to have a wedding on Friday afternoon. Because you never have one cow in the shtetl, and you can't shecht. If you shecht it for the wedding on Wednesday, you'll have no meat for Shabbos. So they did the wedding on Friday afternoon, they shechted the cow for the wedding and for Shabbos. And the Ramah brings one famous case in Krakow that happened, where they were taking the chos and the kala down the aisle to the chuppah on Friday afternoon. And one side said to the other side, so nice that we agreed on such and such a financial settlement. And the other side said, Mapitong, we never agreed on that. And they said, yes you did, and no you didn't. And then they started screaming and shouting. The whole wedding was put on hold. They took the chos and the kala to one side. And the parents argued, and the Ramah came in, and he sorted out, and he made shalom between everybody. And they said, good, Baruch Hashem, now we'll do the wedding. And they said, you can't do the wedding. Look, 3 stars, 5 stars, 20 stars. It's nighttime. It's awesome to do a wedding on Shabbos. It's an Issa Midrabbanon in case they come to write down, come into Kinyan, because you come to write things down, etc. So the Ramah turned around and said, excuse me, we're doing this wedding on Shabbos. How can you do a wedding on Shabbos? Says, but first in the Gemara, you can't do a wedding on Shabbos. So the Ramah says, yes, it also says in the Gemara Mishum Kavod Abrias, if there's a public indignity or embarrassment to an individual, you can override a Drabonon. They said, this Chassan and Kala Nebuch, they were probably 15 years old, each of them, yeah? Standing there waiting for the chuppah. If you wait till Motzei Shabbos, who knows if the families will even be talking to each other by Motzei Shabbos. So he says, we're doing the wedding now, and they did the wedding. And he got all the flak for it. He got a lot of flak for it. He got letters from all over Europe saying, we heard you're doing weddings on Shabbos. I mean, they couldn't say it's against the Shulchan Aruch, because he could say, I'm writing the Shulchan Aruch, I'll decide what's against the Shulchan Aruch. And indeed, and actually that's what he read in the Shulchan Aruch, that you can do this. Anyway, so I'm not sure exactly why they got the chuppah, but the chuppah is a problem for the lady who lives. Either way, he says you can't carry an umbrella. Yeah?
I didn't understand the issue of the air underneath.
Because an OL is protected. If you're using the top of the OL, it's not protected. That's not called OL. If you're using the underneath of the OL, that's protected. And a chuppah and an umbrella clearly is for protection. That's the point.
Well, how does that relate to the issue of other?
Because ohel is exactly that point. You're raising a structure to use the inside, the underneath of that structure. And an umbrella, pashtus, sounds like that as well. Go over the page to page 3, please. So many of you would have came out and he said no. And then he raised the stakes. Look at what he says in number 9. What about carrying the umbrella around on Shabbos? Okay, fine. He doesn't like you to open it and close it. But let's open it on Friday and carry it around. That can be baranu mi'issa tikkun b'Shabbos, tikkun b'Shabbos. Up until now, says the Yehuda, we've been talking about making it on Shabbos. And that in immediately out of Shabbos, what if you just put it up on Friday? Imrishai b'Shabbos, lisa, sorry, la'ayil, boy. Can you carry it around and stand under it on Shabbos? I'll also put it on your head, la'hagei mitnei ha'chamon, mitnei ha'geshem. That's what people want to do. Havadai shamitzad maret ha'ayin, there's a problem of maret ayin. Shechashuhu shetikno hayot roi la'asa. And therefore, since people will say, you put it up on Shabbos, then You can't carry it. It's maritime. People will assume you're putting it up on Shabbos. Loi mi boy l'shitat harib. And it goes without saying, for the rib, I live at the Beis Yosef, according to the Beis Yosef, sheyesh bo chiyav chatat. He wants to say that according to the rib, an umbrella, putting up an umbrella could be an issa d'oraisa, even though it has no rechitzas. I'm not going into the whole lomnus of the rib. Pshita the tzarech limno al limchot. You certainly have to criticize people and say you can't carry on Shabbos. I feel who can carry on Shabbos, even if it was put up on Friday, mipnei maritime. But even if you want to say shavadu nefo issa Torah, that there's no issa d'oraisa, afilu yikimu b'shabbos, and you, even to put it up on Shabbos, ela issa d'rabbanon, gam kan shachvoy issa maritime. There's still a problem with maritime, and we'll look at that a little bit more later. Can you just make up new maritimes? Chazal never said anything about maritime with an umbrella. Chazal never had umbrellas. Chazal said maritime to this: if your clothes get wet on Shabbos, you can't hang them up to dry on Shabbos. Chazal said, because people will think you're laundering clothes. Okay? That they said for maritime. But if they never said here with umbrellas, can we suddenly make up maritime? The Note of Yehuda says, yes, we can. There's a problem of maritime. And it comes up today. Can you go into Kentucky Fried Chicken for a quick bathroom break? Or is there maritime? Okay? This happened to me on a long walk across Los Angeles on a Shabbos afternoon. I was walking from one bit of Los Angeles, what's called Hancock Park, to Pico Robertson, the other side. It's a long walk, and in the middle, of course, I need to hop into a bathroom. There are no bathrooms. The only thing I opened was Kentucky Fried Chicken on Shabbos afternoon. Finger licking good, okay? So I ran into Kentucky Fried Chicken and ran out hoping that nobody would see me, and then an enormous group of Beit Yaakov girls walked by the way past, just as I'm coming out of KFC. Shabbos. Is there maritime? Well, it's too late to worry about now. Truth is, I didn't have much of a choice at that point. But the note of Yehuda is very clear. You can't carry them because of maritime, even if you put it up on Erev Shabbos. And that is the basic position of most of the poskim in the late 1700s. They all jump onto this note of Yehuda and say it's not acceptable. The Prima Gaudium adds another aspect, which is number 10. Prima Gaudium also died at the same time as the Note of Yehuda, late 1700s. It's Oysen Gagim, Shenoysen Begshamin. Those little roofs, he says, that they carry around in the rain. Asher Garim, they're really not good, he says. Dehani Eich Tarech Lazot Klum, Kimav Shita Vahakvila. Okay? Even though what you're doing is you're just putting them up and putting them down. Masha Ein Kan Begagim, these little umbrellas, Tarech Likshor Haritzuz Ksatz. There are things you have to tie on the umbrellas. And actually, that's very interesting, because it sounds from the 18th and 19th century poskim that the way their umbrellas worked is you didn't just put them up, but then you had to tie them to stop them from coming down. Does that ring any bells with anybody? Anyone seen any umbrellas like that? I think this is old technology, and that's another thing that they're worried about. Not only do you just put them up, but you have to tie them in place. He says, and that's a problem as well. The Brikki Yosef, similarly, he quotes Rav David. Part of the Brikki Yosef is in Rav Chaim David Azulai, same period, number 11. He calls it umbrellas, okay, or umbrellas, okay. Asuya lahagem mechama v'geshem mitharot, okay. Asur l'insor b'shabbos v'yontzif. You can't carry them around on Shabbos and v'yontzif. Kol shekein v'poscha. You certainly can't open them. Aval and who? Here we see a little bit of a chink in the armor. Loime la'akum sheis ena lahagem alav shon. If you have a friendly non-Jew to walk around next to you carrying the umbrella, that you can do. Okay, depends on what kind of friends you have, I suppose. But he said, if you have a non-Jew to walk around carrying an umbrella, and that would be very shaykh if an older person was walking around, they have a Filipino or whoever it is walking with them, okay? Then you, it's very common now to see people walking around with non-Jewish people right next to them all the time. There are more non-Jewish people doing Daf Yomi now than any time in history. He says that you can do. You can get them to carry that around. And we'll see that becomes a sack which catches on a little bit later, but you certainly can't put them up and you certainly can't carry them around. Chayodim. The Chayodim in number 12. Afal gavda ein oil beloy mechitzas. Even though you might argue there's no problem of oil if it doesn't have mechitzas, and an umbrella doesn't have mechitzas. Mikol makam in nasa l'tzel, if it's made for shade, asur, it's not allowed. Probably drabonon, not doraita, but it's not allowed. Or kaplush, so you can't even wear a hat with a big brim, he says. Tefach, since it has a tefach at the front. Or parslik. Okay, mitriya. Okay, you can't carry umbrellas. The Mishnah Berurah brings that down, and that seems to be the end of the story. Umbrellas are also, why are they also again? According to the note of Yehuda, maybe it's a Doraisa, according to the Rif, certainly it's a Darabonon. And either way, you can't carry them around because it's Marasai. Yes. Good. They won't put plastic on Shabbos. Shabbos,
yeah.
That's because of... No, that's not an oil on the hat because you're not using the airspace under the plastic. The plastic's covering the hat. Maybe they hold it's not Shabbos stick. I don't know, to walk around with plastic. I'm not sure. It's not unusual in Yerushalayim to see people wearing plastic on their hats all the time. Okay? I was once on a bus in Meir Sha'arim. There was a fellow with an enormous orange garbage bag right over his hat. Okay? And he was asleep on the bus, and as he was breathing in and out, it was inflating. Going up and down. Okay? It was the most bizarre thing you ever saw. I woke him up in case it was, like, going to be dangerous. Anyway, that's the position of the Noda Yehuda. Yes. Yes.
Someone walking outside with feet.
Yes.
Joe Cohen suddenly put on his
yes. Correct.
When coffee
rich correct. Correct. Margarine yes.
The issues of Maritime faded as they became more expensive.
Correct. And therefore, can you invent a special Shabbos umbrella with a big sign on it saying Shabbos Kodesh? Okay, Lichvot Shabbos Kodesh. This umbrella was not erected on Shabbos. Maybe you can even invent something that can't close, that has a bar in the middle with a tefach open, so that it's not possible to close it, and you can go to Tomet and they can invent this kind of umbrella. Why didn't we do that? Good, we'll get to that. We'll see. There's a reason why we didn't, because you'd have thought if they can mass a margarine on meat and on all of these other things, and eventually everybody knows it's okay, what's the problem with umbrellas? So we'll see that in a few minutes.
Could Marit Ayin be involved by announcing publicly that it's permitted?
Could be. You know, the question is, how publicly is publicly? You need a rabbonim to. Fine. So we'll see soon why that's not going to happen anytime soon. Look, let's go on to page 4, please. Even in the early days, when umbrellas were coming out, the Chasam Sofer, who is actually usually associated with a fairly machmir sack, although that's perhaps a little unfair, because he has lots of different positions, he became the Rav of Pressburg in 1806. And it was very clear that people were carrying umbrellas around. He couldn't say that. Impressed from people on Shabbos. The Noda Yehuda gave his tshuva in 1783, but it was only published in 1810. So the Chasam Sofer, as a young Rav in Pressburg, was now facing the following problem, that his kehillah were carrying umbrellas on Shabbos. But then all of a sudden the Noda Yehuda's tshuva became very public, that said, you're not allowed to do that. What's he going to do? The Chasam Sofer, how is he going to deal with this issue? So look at number 14. Yan Ra'iti ben Noda Yehuda. He says, I looked in the Noda Yehuda, Odot ha-parasol, on the issue of the parasol. She'choshesh l'ham michil chasas l'shishas ha-rit. And the Noda Yehuda writes that he, according to the rit, could even be a doraisa to open an umbrella on Shabbos. Hine ha'eme dahashta ha-charuva da-hamoinim noisim oisa b'Shabbos. He says, I want to tell you, most of the hamoin am carry umbrellas where I live on Shabbos. They carry umbrellas in the rain. And it's a niftachim alidei goyim. Now here's another one. It's not that a non-Jew carries the umbrella around. It's that a non-Jew opens it and closes it. So that's the minhag in Pressburg, that they have a non-Jew to open and close the umbrella, and the Jew carries it around. By the way, I put on a few email groups and WhatsApp groups that I'm on with Rabbonim. Have you ever heard of umbrellas? And one guy wrote to me and said his grandmother was in Rav Breuer Shul in Frankfurt. And that was the minhag there, according to his grandmother, that they came. The Jews came with their umbrellas in the street, they got to the front, they had a non-Jew to close it, put it in the cloakroom, and then when they came out of shul, they had a non-Jew to open it, and they carried it around with them. The Kachayab of Frankfurt, apparently. Which is not surprising, because we'll see that was actually quite a common minhag for those people who were more lenient on umbrellas. So he says, that's what people do. Now, third line. The Acha Iyun Hadak, okay, Hatev, Oman, after a lot of very careful thought, I want to say the following. The Vadai is our parasol of Shabbos, Lav Mishnah Chassid. I agree, it's not such a big, frum thing to do to carry umbrellas on Shabbos. The Chassidim won't carry umbrellas. He doesn't mean Chassidim as in the Chassidim, but someone who's careful about halacha. The Shabbat Nashi Yirchak Mimenu, someone who's careful in halacha will try to avoid it. Avami Kol Malkum, if the Ani has died, he ain't a Kamosha Chassid, my God. But I respectfully, I can't agree with the note of Yehuda. He comes out full blazing against the brothers. I want to give you three reasons why there's no problem of umbrellas on Shabbos. Reason number one, chada. The habibay bini in the shah. It's completely temporary. It's designed to be put up and put down. Uperish bini in the shah shahu asu mitzchela lignoisa v'soitra. One of the main halachas of binyan is if it's designed to work this way, it's not binyan. Derech tashmishai, that's how it's used. Why isn't it binyan to close a door on Shabbos? There's a big hole in the wall. You close the door, hey presto, there's no hole in the wall. You blocked up the hole in the wall. That's binyan. You've made a wall on Shabbos. No, you haven't made a wall on Shabbos. Because the door is designed to be open and closed and open and closed. That's one of the halachas of binyan. The umbrella is designed to be up and down, up and down, up and down. You're not making anything. That's the first thing he says. The last all notes for this, you call Shabbos. The Kaven Shekane, Halacha the Binyan Ha'azul Hashah, so it ain't a Binyan. This is not called Binyan. In Kain Ha'azul Hashah, Kabuvan. Clearly it's a temporary thing you're putting it up because you're putting it down in a few minutes. It's not like putting up the Mishkan. Where do we learn Oel from? We learn Oel that they put the Mishkan up. The Mishkan was there to stay. The Mishkan was also temporary. But it was there Al Pi Hashem. It could have been there for 30 years. It was there to be permanent if that was the tzivui from Hashem. So that's the first reason why an umbrella can't be binyan. But the loyla sinuk yotzei b'zeba mikdashi ha'oil over mimokam namokam. We never saw anything in the Mishkan where the Malach of the Faith said that there's such a thing as a moving tent. That the tent moves around. When the Mishkan was up, it was up. And it only moved when it was dismantled. So he says, Alidei Adam ha'notu ba'asma, v'chol ma'asha herif v'nodi b'yuhuda b'inyan oil zoruk. The Nodi Yehuda has a whole diyun about an oel zoruk. What's an oel zoruk? It's a tent which moves around. If you remember, we had three shirim on Kohanim on aeroplanes. So remember that far back? And we looked in detail at the issue of oel zoruk. Could there be such a thing as an oel which flies around? Says the Chasam Sofer, Dahasam the Indian Tumah. Yes, when it comes to Tumah and Tara, we can talk about an oel zoruk. About an Indian Shabbos, I have a Malacha Ki in my Zahava B'Mishkan, but there's no such thing as a moving tent in Malacha Shabbos. Doesn't even get off base one. The Oid Vashlishit, and a third reason, She'ein Oil Doraisa, Elik, but Mechitzas Makiyas Laris. In order for an oil to be an oil, there have to be Mechitzas that reach the floor. Kemo Shahai B'Mishkan. Just like there was in the Mishkan. The Kemen She'zachinu Ledin She'einu Doraisa. And I'm going to tell you something else as a Chasam Sofer. It's clear that it's not binyan doraisa to put up an umbrella. And I don't even think it's an issur drabbanon either. I just think it's mutter. It might not be the frumest thing to do, but it's mutter. The imkain korav loyma shafinu is drabbanon shari. I think even rabbinically it's mutter. The imkain lekalabochas mutter lepozim alei goyim. And therefore it's certainly allowed to ask a non-Jew to open and close your umbrella. And then he ends. The ei laharish ha'olam bishvilzeh. And there's no point getting everybody so worked up about that. It's not such a big deal. Calm down, he says. It's just an umbrella. Yeah? There's no Issa Doraisa. There's probably no Issa Drabonon. They're getting a non-Jew to put the umbrella down and up. What's the problem? There are more extreme things that we've allowed on Shabbos than this. Yes? So he says here, you're not normally allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something unless it's Drabonon. And it's lemakom tzarich mitzvah. Okay? Here, he says you're asking the goy to do something that you could probably do yourself. He thinks there isn't really a problem to do it yourself. So it's even less than asking the goy to do a drabonon, because you're asking the non-Jewish person to do something that's basically mutter, but we just don't do it. And therefore it's fine. He says it's absolutely fine.
If it's
that so, then you can't, unless there's a specific heterim. You can ask a non-Jew to do something for someone who's ill, or there are lots of heterims to ask non-Jews to do things. But if you're asking them to do something which is basically fine, there's no, you don't even need a heter. Can I just trouble somebody to put some hot water in here, please? I'm so sorry. There's some hot water downstairs or over there somewhere. That would be great. Thank you. So look, the Chasam Sofer basically says, you're making too much of a stir about the issue. It's not such a big problem. Okay, if you want to be a big chassid, then don't carry an umbrella on Shabbos, but basically it's fine. And there were others at the time that took the same view, the Beis Meir, the Daz Torah I brought you in the footnotes. That. Now, the Gil student, Rabbi Gil student, who has a very interesting website here, Urim and Torah Musings, I saw something very interesting. He brought a shaila of one of the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer, who was asked by a doctor. He says, when I get called out on Shabbos, in the rain, okay, am I better taking a horse and cart, which is an Isidra Vonon, or am I better walking with an umbrella? So if you hold like the Chasm Sofer, the answer is, you're better with an umbrella. The problem is, the Node of Yehuda had come out very clearly and said that you can't use an umbrella. So he was already facing the problem that his own Rebbe said he was basically okay, but the Gadol Hador, which everybody relied on, said, and he said, I can't let you walk with an umbrella, so ask a non-Jew to drive you to the place on Shabbos, whatever. But he was already dealing with this problem. The Tiferet Yisrael in number 15, who also in Germany in the mid-19th century, excuse me, also basically says, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to carry it on Shabbos. He says, I'm not going to matter umbrellas unless my colleagues also do. It's very interesting. Look at the first couple of lines, number 15. Since the Node of Yehuda was machmir, kol kach b'isra, so machmir to say you can't do it. I'm not prepared to allow it unless my colleagues also do. I spoke to a Dayan in Yerushalayim who will remain anonymous. And I said to him, what do you think about umbrellas? He said, it's osa. So I said, why is it osa? He goes, if you carry one, I'll carry one after you carry one. Yeah. So I'm not carrying anything, okay? But he basically said, he's not prepared to say anything's mutter, because nobody else says it's mutter, but basically he says, he'd like to say it's mutter. Avalak upon him nearly borrow the mutter loma lagoy. Thank you so much, Becky. That's very, very kind. He says it's definitely permitted to ask a non-Jew to do it. The fika hafilu shvus, the shvus loy have it, is what the lady said over there. It's not even a drabonon on a drabonon. And he gives an interesting idea that if you don't allow people to get a non-Jew to put up an umbrella, there's a loss. People get sick. People get wet. People get upset. COVID abrius, and people are dripping wet. And therefore, again, what did the Tiferes Yisrael say you could do? He said you could ask a non-Jew to put up the umbrella, and then you can carry it around on Shabbos, which is what we saw from the Chasam Sofer that people were doing according to him as well. If you just go over the page. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld in the Eretz Yisrael, in the Old Yishuv, he also says you can't carry because of Maris Ayim, but then he says you can't criticize people who do. If people do carry umbrellas, he says, look at what he says, in the Tshuva, in number 16, Al-Kaponim Yesh Bezer Maris Ayim, there's an Issa Drabonon of Maris Ayim, Ve'im Yeh Shinaseh Ba'oif Benzer Al-Kaponim Ein Lechuv Lamin Kulin Chos. But if you know people are going to carry umbrellas anyway, you're not meant to say anything. Why not? Because again, he's dealing with the question, is this really Maris Ayin? According to many shitas, you're not able to make up Maris Ayin. You're not able to create new Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin is what Chazal said Maris Ayin is. And new situations cannot be, invented in that way. So again, Rav Yosef Chaim van der Sonnenfeld says you can't carry an umbrella, but you shouldn't criticize anyone who does. Rav Yosef Henkin in America, in the last century, dealing with this issue, he brings both sides. He says people say it's osa, people say it's mutter, but again, he wasn't prepared to give a heter. Now, where does that leave us? When you hit the mid-20th century, basically, you have the Node of Yehuda, who says it's clearly osa, and it's Maris Ayin, and maybe even Doraisa. You have the Chasam Sofer and other people who say, I don't know what the fuss is about, but you know something, get a non-Jew to do it, and it'll be okay. And then in steps the Chazon Ish, and changes the game entirely. The Chazon Ish, and this is not the first person to say this, also a similar argument was brought by the Or Sameach earlier, but look at what he says in number 18. This is absolutely fascinating, because this will change the tenor of the debate. The Chazon Ish comes in and says the following. So the first thing he says is, it's not Ohel. I disagree with the Node of Yehuda. There's no problem. I basically agree with the Chasam Sofer that there's no problem of Ohel on Shabbos with putting up an umbrella. Either because it has no mechitzas, or because it's temporary, or because it's moving. There's no problem of Ohel. But there may be a problem of Tikkun Mana. Why? Because it was not usable, and now it is usable. It's more tikkun mana than an oil. You should just know that the Chazon Ish was particularly keen on tikkun mana as one of the go-to malachas when all else fails. For example, the Chazon Ish is quite famous to say that electricity, he says, is tikkun mana. Is you're perfecting the circuit. You're now allowing the electrical object to work in a way that it was unusable before. My food mixer is dead, it doesn't do anything. I press the button, now my food mixer works. So he wants to say that's an Issa D'oraisa on Shabbos, which is interesting because most Poskim held electricity with an Issa D'rabbanan on Shabbos, not an Issa D'oraisa. So the first thing he says is, maybe it's Tikkun Mana because you're making the umbrella work. A folding chair would be the same. It's completely unusable. So you'd have to say the folding chair was designed for that, but then you have to come to say the umbrella was designed for that as well. A walking stick, you're not doing anything wrong with a walking stick. You're not, there's no malacha with a walking stick. Ah, use it as a walking stick. Yeah, but it's not, if you use it as a walking stick above your head, it won't keep the rain off. if you open it. But really, he doesn't think it's Tikkun Mana either, and maybe because of what you said, Jerry. But look at what he says it really is. V'gam uf shemilsa. It's not Shabbos stick, he says. Say the nikaba uvda dechal the goyrim pirsa. It's uvda dechal. It's a vochendik thing to carry umbrellas. It's uvda dechal. And it's a pirsa. What's a pirsa? You're breaking down something which the Jewish people have decided is also on Shabbos. And we'll see in the Gemara that they asked something for people, even though it was basically okay, but because the people who were listening are not B'nai Torah, they won't understand the Heter. And the rabbis of every generation have a responsibility to fix, to build fences in Halacha where there are breaches. And this issue of umbrellas is more important than just a private shaila. This is not a private shaila anymore. This is, could you just shut the door please, because it's just a bit noisy outside. This is a geder, not just for you, but for Klal Yisrael and for all generations. The Chazanish has significantly raised the stakes. He's basically said that now we've decided that from people don't carry umbrellas on Shabbos, this has become definitive of what makes a person Shomer Shabbos. Leaving aside the halachic issues for and against and the Chazan Sofer and the Rebbe Yehuda, this has now taken on almost a mind of its own, a meaning of its own, and a symbolic meaning. Do you want us to put the air on? You can get us to put the air on if you like. But then everyone will be cold. So what's fascinating here is the Chazan Ish is saying, why don't we carry umbrellas on Shabbos? He says, I'm not really interested in all the halachic to doing and throwing. It's now become definitive of what defines Orthodox people, that they don't carry umbrellas on Shabbos. And if you say now that they can carry umbrellas on Shabbos, people will think that's very strange. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, number 20, Yesh Misha Kosem, She'alta Lechacham Lahatir David Temua, Shinei Lidu Rabbi Shehitir Et Asir. You're not allowed as a Shulchan Aruch to allow something on Shabbos which most people will think is also, and suddenly they'll be surprised, you say it's mutter. Even though it really is mutter, you can't always say things are allowed if people are going to get the wrong impression. It takes on almost like a meaning in and of itself. And Rav Herschel Schechter, when he wrote his famous tshuva, which some people loved and some people loved less, on women wearing tefillin, about four or five years ago, remember there was a whole story there in one of the high schools in America, there were a few girls who wanted to wear tefillin, and the high school allowed them to wear tefillin, and there was a big backlash against this. And Rav Herschel Schechter, in his tshuva, which says that women are not allowed to wear tefillin, he invokes this principle of the Chazan Ish, and he looks at number 21, he says, Lain Chazan Ish? Sha'af al-fi sheniru lahatir p'tichat sukkah, hanim techet, sha'af sha'agabi agalat hatinot. Even though you're allowed to uncover a baby stroller, that's allowed. Yesh la'asu p'tichat amitriya, mikamat amin. You're not allowed to open an umbrella for many reasons. And one of those reasons is mipnei shegorim pirza, gorim pirza. It causes a breach in standards of Shabbos observance. And maybe his kavona is what we've talked about before. Shemitriya shimsha kesemel. And he says it very clearly. Now an umbrella is symbolic. Okay? Laharisat hadat, of the destruction of religion for Europa, in Europe, etzel ha-reform, by the reform. The al-kein tzrichim anu la-asr, therefore that's why we have to answer it. Afal pisha mikoyach hilchas oyel arai, the melecha shabbat ha-mitarich la-musa. Even though, in terms of the technical halachas of Ohel, He says, I agree. I can't think of any reason why really it's also to carry an umbrella around on Shabbos. But now it represents like women wearing tefillin, he wants to say, the borderline between Orthodox and non-Orthodox observance. So now there's nothing we can do. An umbrella is an umbrella. Yeah?
Two questions. One is, it makes it sound like you can't make any change that would be obvious that it looks non-Shabbos day. And yet, we have many posting boards that, for example, people who need mechanized chairs.
Good, because okay, good, because that's already for people who are have special disabilities or.
But it moves it again in that idea.
Right.
That they're doing something because they realize there's a need for it.
Totally, and there are so many areas in which there's been a certain amount of movement or innovation. Somet comes out with things, and they put signs that say there's no Maris Iron, etc. Umbrellas just seem to have become now entrenched in this position that there's no way that you can move it. Because it represents something much bigger than it is.
It's beginning to sound it's become entrenched in a kind of a mishigas that goes on.
Okay, I don't want to use the word mishigas, but there's definitely something going on.
And what about the whole issue of Baltosis then?
No, Baltosis is not an issue. The Chachamim have got the power to make Gedorim in each generation. Look how the Issa is brought down in Shulchan in the Shmir Shabbos.
It's okay, but we're not going to do it.
Okay, so some people want to say it's okay, but we're not going to do it. And other people say people won't listen if you say that. But you have to say it's not okay. I had this conversation with another anonymous rabbi who told me that in the Northwest London Eruv, yeah, when he spoke to one of the people who was very vehemently against it, he said to him, why can't you just say it's okay, but we don't use it? Or it's preferable not to. Why do you have to say that if you use it, you're a mechalel shavus v'farhesia, and you know we can't drink your wine? You know why? Why do you have to say that? So he said, well, if I say it's okay, but we can't use it, no one's going to listen to me. So I have to say in the strongest possible lashon to get anyone to listen to me, which is an interesting observation in and of itself. Yes.
I have a comment to make that I haven't heard yet, and that is there are an awful lot of things that would be mostly to use on Shabbos, but because there might be a secret. And known as Makhatasa.
Yes.
I don't think that the person in this room who was using an umbrella was not found sometimes the wind takes it.
Right.
And blows it up.
Right.
Sometimes the pieces break and there's a temptation to fix it temporarily.
Right.
In which case,
so you want to use the argument which, right, which is like the bicycle argument.
Bicycle.
It's exactly like the bicycle argument. Maybe it depends on what quality umbrellas you buy or where you put them up. But I agree with you. It's interesting. I didn't see that argument anywhere. Although on the bicycle issue, people say that. And yet there are still some in the Syrian community who will be more lenient on riding bicycles on Shabbos. And we can have a separate discussion on that.
Okay, so you do agree that may be a reason.
It makes sense, but no one has said it.
Why not? I don't understand. The other thing is about you know that Kedushin and Nisuin are two separate entities.
Sure.
Okay. Nisuin is represented by Kupna. It is very possible that Kedushin before Shabbos, and then...
Ah, they did the Chuppah on Shabbos. Interesting. Because there's no kidney. The kidney before Shabbos is the Chuppah on Shabbos. That's interesting. But already by the Magen Avraham they weren't doing that, so I'm not sure. Yeah, it's a nice idea then. It's a nice idea. Look at number 22. When you look in Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa, why is it also to carry umbrellas on Shabbos? Look at how he says it. Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa. Rabbi Yeshua Neuved. Geder Gidru Gedolei Hadoris. It's a geder that the Gedolei Hador have given us. The Amru She'ein Liktoach Mitriya Oshim Shia V'Shabbos B'Yonza. He doesn't even try to justify it on the basis of Hilchas Ohel. He said it's a Geder. But Gam Im Heim P'tuchas Nivor Yom. Even if they are open before Shabbos, Ein Lehim Nishtamesh V'Hem. You're not allowed to use them. Gam B'Mokim She'yesh V'Erev. Even in the place where there's an Erev. Now he does say you can put up a garden umbrella after that, because he says for all sorts of reasons this is not prohibited in the same way as regular umbrellas, but he clearly says you can't put umbrellas. And I looked in the Panini Halacha of Rav Melamed, and he says exactly the same thing. He says there's no movement on this. You can't carry umbrellas on Shabbos. Now, where it got more interesting and where I started chasing around the world this week is I saw posted on a website a comment by someone who said that he received a heter in the 1960s from Rabbi Emanuel Jacobowitz, who was then the Rav of Fifth Avenue Synagogue in New York. He said he received a heter to carry around an umbrella on Shabbos, personally. And maybe even to put it up and down inside the building. And some people don't like doing that because of superstition, but that's for sure an Issa Doraisa if you're superstitious about umbrellas, right. And that's a different problem, okay? Or maybe under the awning, the canopy outside the building. So he's the one that said that Rav Jacobowitz gave such an Issa. He mentioned Rav Emanuel, Rav Isaac Bernstein also. A heter, sorry, to give such a heter. He mentioned Rav Isaac Bernstein, who was in the Jewish Center, says he agreed with. So I chased around to see if this was reliable or not. I couldn't find a single person that could corroborate this. I spoke to Rabbi J.J. Schechter in New York, and he said he'd never heard of this, and he sent emails around. This fellow then said to me, listen, I heard this. I found him on Facebook. You know, there was a post on a website from 10 years ago. I managed to track the guy down. And he said to me, listen, I got this heter from Rav Jacobowitz, Mefurash. And even when Rav Jacobowitz became the chief rabbi in London, when he wouldn't allow this, obviously there's no Erev then, he said, I could still rely on it. And he said, I'll tell you something else. I'm related to Rav Moshe Tendler. And he agreed. So I said, oh, you can't say things like that without being able to back them up. So I went to Rav Shabtai Rappaport in Efrat, who is Rav Moshe Tendler's son-in-law. And I said to him, listen, I heard that someone said that your father-in-law told them that he could use an umbrella on Shabbos, and he's a family member. Can you please check this out? And he said, oh yes, I'll check that out. And he contacted Rav Moshe Tendler. Rav Moshe Tendler said, I never said any such thing. I never allowed an umbrella on Shabbos. Umbrellas are clearly ultimate rabbon on Shabbos, and any Orthodox rabbi will say they're ultimate on Shabbos. And the whole thing is, I don't know what's going on here. So, apart from this guy who claims to have received some kind of limited heter from Rav Jacobowitz, which I assume everyone in, you know, else who I ask will deny, okay? I'm not aware of anybody who has broken ranks, if you like, on this issue. There is one little thing that I just want to mention to you, is that there is a line within the Sephardi Psak, and I brought you number 23, 24, and 25. Number 23 is Rav Uziel, Rav Ben Zion Uziel, the first Sephardi chief rabbi, who also says you can't carry umbrellas, but then says, but you shouldn't criticize people who do. For the same reason. We saw that already in Rav Zonnefeld. But then I brought you Rav Mashash. Rav Mashash in number 24 was the chief rabbi. He was in Morocco. And then he was the chief rabbi of Haifa. He was well known for having some quite unusual positions on different things. But look at what he says in 24. Okay, this whole issue, there's a machlokes between the great trees, he says. He's talking about the Chasam Sofer and the Nodeb Yehuda. I'm not going to give you a heter to carry umbrellas around, he says. Even though any halakhic analysis will lead to the conclusion that this really should be mutter. Look at all of the arguments of those who say it's also Bahamas here in the index. If you look carefully, you'll see this very... You can't justify this just on Hilchos Shabbos alone. And he says, and where I live in Morocco, I assume this is in Morocco, people carry umbrellas. I'm sorry, people do. Now, this may be because his community was less observant in some ways. He's dealing with different kinds of people. But he says, I see people using umbrellas. I'm not prepared to criticize them. I feel that Akim is fatayim, even by pulling a funny face. I've never seen that expression before, but I'm not even prepared to make a face when they say, when they carry umbrellas on Shabbos. Because they have on whom to rely. Ah! If you're a Yoresh Shemaim, you should be happy to get a little bit wet on Shabbos. And you get a bracha. Here you have a bracha from Rav Mashash, you get wet on Shabbos, then you're alright. Amnam, however, this is what he says now. Im Beit HaKnesset Rachot. If the shul is a long way away, the hageshem yored begvura, and the rain's really coming down. The imyantin ashi yivsof yavos manat filler, and if you wait till the rain stops, you'll miss shul. The imyelech, and if you walk without an umbrella, yivsofu begadav b'mayim, your clothes will get so soaked. The yochel of ola isa frita, and you'll end up maybe squeezing them, or lenaame alav, or shaking them. But that is the Gomorrah, and that clearly is an Issa on Shabbos. And he brings down the parameters of that Issa, and then the last nine. But then Nira Pashut, there I think it's clear, Shemutu Liftoach Machsehu Liftofet Petit. I think you can open your umbrella and walk with your umbrella, but it's only Lakota Dasi Bezerra. He's the only one that I found that says that. And he wants to say that if you don't let people carry umbrellas, then they do more significant Isuri Shabbos, which really are also clearly Min Hadin on Shabbos. But, you know, can you rely on that? I don't think so. I think every place like Ashkenazi and Sephardi pretty much Rav Avadi Yosef says you can't carry an umbrella on Shabbos. Rav Yitzchak Yosef, which I brought you in the last Hebrew source on page 7, clearly says you can't carry an umbrella on Shabbos. He says that if there's a less observant person that tells you, listen, Rabbi, if I can't carry an umbrella, I ain't coming to shul.
I'll drive to shul.
Well, that's for sure. They're fine. So then, if he says, I'm not going to come to shul unless you let me carry an umbrella, he says, you can ask a non-Jew to carry the umbrella. But I think if you ask most poskim, if you're an older person, you say, it's difficult for me to get to shul in the rain without coming with an umbrella, I think most poskim will say to you, Betty, should have an home? No? I'd be very surprised if any postic would say you should carry an umbrella, because there's such a clear, hard line on the issue, it's now become definitive, like Rav Shachter said, of the line between Orthodox and Conservative. I just wanted to finish with two little pieces in English. So Rav Gil's student ends up and he says, and I think he says it very nicely, oh, by the way, if you really want to open umbrellas on Shabbos, and you have an emaciated horror to do that, there's one kind of umbrella you can open on Shabbos. That's a cocktail umbrella on a cocktail. Okay? So if that's what you, if that you can do, and drink a l'chaim on Shabbos and enjoy in good health. Okay. Look at number 26. On the one hand, a frustrating element of arbitrariness surrounds umbrella use on Shabbos. Why do we act strictly on this issue, which is hotly debated among authorities, while acting legally on other disputed issues? So this seems a little bit arbitrary. God's will, as defined by halacha, should not be subject to historical accident. On the other hand, like an individual, a community is defined in part by its past. We cannot change how we got to where we are, our communal evolution through history. As halacha evolves within boundaries, of course, we cannot turn the clock back without destabilizing the system. In this particular issue, the reluctance of even lenient authorities to actually permit umbrella use on Shabbos turns the subject into less a matter of debate than many other halachic issues. We'll just have to make do with raincoats and the occasional wetness during a downpour. And he makes a good point, which I just want to finish on, that there is more to halacha than the technicalities. Halacha is a system which has not just halachic details, but halachic values. And at some point, someone has to draw a line and define certain things as being definitive of orthodoxy and non-orthodoxy. For whatever reason, and it may be a little bit arbitrary, that line has been drawn on umbrellas rather than any number of things that you could have said we could have drawn that line on. But that's how the line was drawn. And now we're faced with the reality of that halachic value having been set down. And the fact is that no posik will really be master umbrellas on Shabbos. Even if you invent a Shabbos-stick umbrella, which the last source talks about and many people have talked about, I don't think it's going to help. It's a little bit frustrating. But maybe again we need to just wait for a Sanhedrin and the Sanhedrin will deal with the matter. Okay? But let's... Yes, sir? Yes. Well, on the one hand, garden umbrellas could be worse because they're up for longer. On the other hand, if you hold that there's really nothing wrong with the umbrella, but it's just taken on a societal meaning, so garden umbrellas didn't take on any such meaning and therefore they're basically fine. And therefore, that's why the Shemir Shabbos Yochatza says you could put up a garden umbrella rather than, because it's rooted in the ground. Even though you could argue halachically, it's actually worse. But since the real issue is the societal connotation, the garden umbrella doesn't have that. Okay, let's leave it there for now. Thank you for bearing with my voice. I apologize. But we got through to the end. Baruch Hashem.